This week,
there's a fever in there.
The 215 crew tries to land in congested waters.
Ahoy!
And get their plane back out.
Watch that wind.
They're going to twist it in.
A rookie pilot gets thrown a curveball. And Buffalo Joe lays down the law.
I have an obligation not to send this 20-year-old kid home in a body bag. Of a big journey for Buffalo Airways.
Good luck. We'll see.
Are we actually going somewhere?
Yeah, we're going. Things are looking up here. We're well overdue. Hopefully our weather holds. We can get this thing done today.
Captain Justin Simley and his crew will be heading to the other side of the world.
Up to you.
With this plane, a CL-215 water bomber. It was never designed for more than a short hop. Now, the first leg of its journey begins with the long haul over the Rockies.
Goosebumps going on, and I got the time for a little fun. I think we got it all, yeah.
But there's one thing missing.
It's the rope back leg. 2 minutes.
Mechanic Corey Dodd almost forgot an essential piece of equipment.
That's all you're listening to this boat, 1993. My mom gave it to me. And so far, to this date, every time we've had the bug, we've never crashed or had anything bad happen to us, so we must have some luck in it. Or it's just the superior piloting skills.
Somehow I doubt that.
I don't know. I got to put my money on the frog.
Yeah. I will too.
I'll go with the frog.
And this is a complete adventure for all of us. I mean, this is actually something that I was quite excited about right from the beginning. It's totally different.
The water bomber's on its way to its new owners in South Korea.
When we started looking at doing this job, we were going to fly the airplane there. But it just wasn't possible.
Clear takeoff, runway 28, Tanker 281.
All set? Yeah, I think we're good here.
So Justin and co-pilot Nigel Clark will first fly this plane to Vancouver, British Columbia. This 1,600-kilometer journey over the Rocky Mountains to the West Coast will push the limits of an aircraft designed for short firefighting runs.
Three, you want? My fault. You're safe. We are. We're okay.
Tanker 281 cleared on. Over. Have a good flight.
For the first time ever, Buffalo will now attempt to load a 215 onto a cargo ship heading across the Pacific Ocean.
It's never been done before, so I'm not sure how it's going to go.
They can't afford any damage because Buffalo won't get paid until the plane is delivered.
So you want to do everything in your power to keep it from getting damaged because you know it's going to be Joe freaking out.
After takeoff, sir. All right. I'm on my way.
These days, Joe's already got a lot on his mind. After a recent series of fatal plane crashes at neighboring airlines, Joe's been on a major safety campaign. And today, he's seen some major carelessness in the way the crew's been prepping his planes and handling his equipment. Joe's called everyone in, from greenest rampy to seasoned pilot, to lay down the law.
We got a problem that's not being solved, and maybe you guys can solve it, maybe you can't. Maybe we'll send some young guy home in a body bag to his mother. I walked out of Terminal Belt Hay River this morning. I mean, I can hear the distinct sound of a chock beating another chock. We got one engine running, the chock's running. Yesterday, I had a problem because the same guy was given a signal to pull the APU, and he runs as hard as he can, slipping and sliding, snowing, black night, 20 years old, never been in the north before, he's out of Toronto. He slides underneath the thing and starts pulling the APU down. Then I go and ask him, who trained you to do that?
They're not properly schooled, I thought, in the care and control of the airplane on the ramp. They could hurt themselves.
You've got to realize they're spinning propellers. They're slippery ice. I was born and raised here. I know what it's like to be in the cold and the dark in a snowstorm.
Aviation, like the sea, like mariners, you pass your knowledge on.
People don't pass it on. They want to hold it to themselves. Almost till I see a competition on the ramp, I can look better than him.
They seem to want to hold their knowledge or be protective of it, which is, in aviation, very, very dangerous.
If you don't want to train each other, do yourselves a favor. Don't listen to me. Don't put up my bullshit. Get the hell out of here. Now, I have an obligation not to send this 20-year-old kid home in a body bag.
The young co-pilots and rampies have a different theory.
Joe seems to think that everybody is so competitive here that we don't want to train other people so that we look better. But there's not a lot of time. Everything's so rushed.
It's always the same thing. It's always rushing. Like, everyone rushes. And it's, you know, that's nobody's fault. It's just how everyone's mentality is.
We can say we want to change. We can try and change, but it really never happens.
But big changes are coming for Rampy David Alexander. Changes that will put him right under Buffalo Joe's scrutiny.
Picking up a little, eh?
Yeah,
should be all right.
These are big planes, too. They can take a bit of ice.
In the skies over British Columbia, the 215 is closing in on Vancouver. And Corey's lucky frog seems to be working.
Yeah, just the way I like it. Everything got A-okay. The green frog's having a good scenic tour.
3,000 for Tanker 281.
Just follow along this shoreline here.
You gotta imagine.
They're just a landing away from a perfect day.
Everything was just too good. So something has to go terribly wrong.
Vancouver Harbor, Tanker 281, with you just coming up on 2,500.
Nothing we ever do goes as planned.
Tanker 281, Harbor Tower, Roger, and what are your intentions?
Our intentions are to land towards Mosquito Creek on the north shore there.
But they're trying to touch down in some of the most congested airspace in the country.
Tanker 281, traffic at Point Atkinson, currently heading southbound.
And the sky is only the first of Justin's worries.
A lot of harbor traffic, float planes going in and out of there, container ships going back and forth, and those container ships are moving.
We just got to keep an eye out for traffic. There's the sea bus going right in there. So I would do a turn
coming across there. There's one behind.
And the other guy is right there.
We got a tug over there. Put an eye on him. Check your water there. Make sure there's no water in the water.
Right now, Justin is facing every pilot's worst nightmare.
We got a boat down here. I got to turn left here.
Nowhere to land.
Okay, we got a freighter coming in.
In Vancouver, Justin Simley's desperate for a break in traffic to find room to land a CL-215.
Tanker 281, traffic is turning left to the Lion's Gate Bridge. Remain south of him at all times.
So just give yourself, where's that
otter? We got a boat down here.
Okay.
Which direction?
He's going this way.
I'll land past.
Justin wants a kilometer and a half of open water.
100 knots in the slide now. Full clock, please.
But he's not going to find it here.
And you're 95.
Reducing. Yep. 85.
85 and 150 feet.
Thumbs up.
One is on the water this time.
The water bomber is already attracting attention from other pilots.
What's going on? We got a fire on the north shore or something?
Tanker 281, this is our clearance frequency when you're taxiing for departure.
Yeah, actually, this will be our last flight there. Getting the plane ready to put on a boat, so...
Oh, okay. Thank you. That was very interesting.
Normally, you'd fly where you're going. Tell us where you're headed on the boat.
The boat is... on route to Korea.
Okay, which explains that's quite a journey otherwise for you guys. Very interesting. Anyway, all the best.
But now, all the boats that made landing a challenge are surrounding the plane.
We just gotta keep an eye out for traffic. We are kind of in a shipping lane.
That sea bus is going in, that one's going in. And we've got a tug and another tug.
That's
afraid of behind us.
Yeah. Vancouver Tower, Tanker 281. And we've got this freighter coming in. We're just trying to decide which way. I guess we should go behind him.
That's up to you. Once you're on the water for us, you're considered a boat. So it's really up to you. If you want to head this way, you're welcome to do so.
Gotta turn.
The cargo ships, they're huge. Just floating around that too. Being on the water is like, holy crap. These things, I mean, if we get run into it, they're not even going to stop. They're just going to run right over us.
Moving, Barry.
Oh, shit, we don't have the wind with us here.
As a plane, the 215 is incredibly nimble.
Come on, baby, come around. No.
As a boat, not so much.
Hey, she's not coming around very good there.
With no rudder in the water, the 215 depends on its propellers to maneuver.
It's not like a boat. You can't just steer it. It needs a lot of space to turn.
It's a big-ass ship. It sure is. Get her around here. There, now she comes.
So the crew is waiting for a tugboat to give them a tow to a nearby marina, where they'll prep the plane for the next stage of his journey.
The heck is our ride, guys?
At least that was the plan.
I don't see the tug yet.
Anybody out there in company?
So we're waiting for the tugboat to come out, and it's not coming out. You know, we're just kind of getting a little more antsy because now we're just floating around over here, you know, in everybody's way.
I wonder if they've run into a problem, you know.
Without a tow, the 215 is a sitting duck. Back up in Yellowknife, Mikey McBrien is dealing with a problem of his own.
So Chris Barton and Hay River just quit? Chris Barton phoned me up and said that he was leaving, so, you know, that was a real blow, and you know, usually at Buffalo when it rains, it pours.
The resignation leaves Mikey with a severe shortage of DC-3 co-pilots to fly the daily passenger flight with Buffalo Joe.
Joe, yes?
Hey, Dad, it's Mikey.
Yeah?
Chris Barton quit.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, what that really leaves us with is no DC-3 co-pilots. We'll think about it overnight. Because whoever we pick is going to be your guy, yeah, your Hay River guy, so. We really had to look around the hangar and see who's next, and we really took a gamble, but we're thinking David Alexander, you know, our Toronto boy.
When David Alexander showed up over a year ago, fresh from Toronto, no one was betting on him.
A lot colder than Hay River.
Kelly. Nice to meet you. Welcome to Buffalo.
He ain't gonna last. He's too frilly.
What's that?
He's already thinking it's cold. He won't last here. Shit, no. It's cold. It's plus fucking one in November in Yellowknife, and he thinks it's gold. Holy shit, man. Good luck.
But David did last, quietly plugging away under the radar, hardly getting noticed.
You never really want to show how much it actually means to you, right? But, you know, 15 months on the ramp. Kind of like, you know, how long am I actually going to be on this ramp for?
So, Damon, did you hear about Barton?
And with his big chance finally here, David has a surprise for Mikey.
How's your training on the three?
Pretty good.
How about sim time?
60, 70, maybe.
In the simulator upstairs in the school?
Yeah.
Really? Well, Frick, that's pretty good. I was thinking you're going to say, like, five. And he's got 65 hours in the sim. 65 hours. Like, I barely even get 20 minutes before getting bored.
David spent so much time on it, he's become the unofficial sim instructor.
Okay, that's weather's good. So, brief me on a takeoff.
If it's there for you to use, you might as well use it. So it's 52 inches we'll use today?
Yeah. Right, so you take off.
But no simulator can prepare any pilot for sharing a cockpit with Buffalo Joe.
Slowly kicking in that. I should get my shit together and make sure I know my shit.
In Vancouver, the water bomber crew is still fighting to dodge harbor traffic.
Gonna turn now, pass one is on his left guard right side. There's a tug there. Yes.
Shut her down.
Ahoy!
It's pretty exciting. There comes our tug right now. Right here.
The tug is towing the plane to a nearby marina. But no marina is designed for a boat like this.
Now we just gotta fit a 93-foot airplane in a 78-foot opening.
Somehow, they have to squeeze the 215 through this narrow breakwater.
The closer we get, is the more the panic is going to go up here.
Because the airplane wouldn't fit. We actually had to somehow lift the wing that was going to be over the dock.
Maybe we want as much weight over
there. Yeah,
no,
I want to be right outside.
If they can get one wing high enough, they might be able to raise the pontoon over the barrier.
When we get close, he's going to give the tagline to the people, and me and Nigel and Matt will stand on that wing.
Yeah, well, let's do it.
We got up on the wing to make sure that the right side pontoon was high enough to clear the concrete dock on the right side.
How do you want to control it as we go through there, the wings?
That'll be the only problem. I don't really know. Let's get a little closer.
Thank you.
I'm pretty nervous right now. Let's see what happens.
As slow as we can go. And we've got to watch this nose here.
I mean, boats, you can bump into them and this and that. And every time you bump into the airplane, you put a hole in it. So, you've got to be really careful.
Jeez.
There is an awful lot of room.
Yeah, can we bring the nose over this way a bit? Just a bit, yeah. We could actually bring the nose over just
a
hair.
We got to get it coming this way a little bit.
We're definitely going to wreck something. That's was kind of, I think, everybody's head.
Fucking pretty damn close, I bet you.
Make sure those guys got the tagline on that side.
This concrete pier on the right-hand side was about 2 feet out of the water. We had about 3 feet of clearance, so we had a foot.
Feel it, Rock?
Yeah, don't move too much.
Well, there's a bit of a swell.
One thing that we didn't realize, on the harbor, there's these swells that are about a foot. So every time the swell comes up, the tip float comes down. So now your nice 1 foot of buffer zone is now 0 feet.
Don't bounce up and down too much.
How much further, Corey?
We're almost done. Another 2 feet. We're safe.
And once it went over the concrete pier, it was a huge relief at that point.
It's not touching the door for you.
Hey, man. Yeah, that was good. That was awesome.
And tomorrow, they have to get the 215 back out of the marina. Then somehow onto the deck of a massive ship. Something no one's ever tried before.
There was a lot could possibly go wrong with this whole ship idea. But there's a ship waiting for us. Let's go do it.
This is what gets you fit fast.
For the past 4 months, Mikey McBrien has been working hard to get in shape.
Stick your chest out a bit more. Damn it. You're at 30 seconds. Good. Breathe and hold. You're not going to be sick on me, are you?
We're going for five. Double. Push, push, push. Yeah. Awesome. Woo.
It's
Fort has no engines. I don't know how we're going to handle it.
Today, Mikey and his sister Kathy are out to take on a fresh challenge.
See if I can figure it out. You know, it's kind of sad. You know, I'm born and raised in the territories, and I've never ever snowshoed.
Oh, yeah, they're not bad. Kind of feel like you're going to come out of them, though.
Snowshoe novice Mikey has signed up for an extreme 45-kilometer relay.
There you go. It's going to be a challenge, and it's all timed. And if you go over your time a certain amount, they actually send search and rescue after you, because literally out in the middle of nowhere.
We're going to run in these things?
As soon as my sister Kathy found out that I was covertly training for, this snowshoe marathon, she kind of, put herself on the team.
What do you think, Mike? Like, what's the feel?
My sister-in-law, Sasha McBride, there, she just ran a half marathon there in BC, but she's ready to go. Yeah, I think we made about a half a click.
0.22 of 1K so far, guys.
I can't feel my fingers already. And it's only minus 18. You have two big, large clown shoes on, and you're trying to walk on an uneven surface. So it's a challenge.
Mikey has to be ready to race in less than a month.
We got with Mikey.
If he survives today.
Wait up, guys. Jeez Louise. Ow.
You want to clean it first?
Yeah, we'll clean it first. We'll just start with the inside.
Back at the hangar, David Alexander is getting a crash course from co-pilot Graham Ferguson.
Just get a layer of foam on that kind of thing. Yeah.
Today, David starts flying with the toughest captain in the company, the boss, Buffalo Joe.
You know, honestly, I don't really envy the new co-pilots because my father is really hard on them.
When you start out, in his eyes, yeah. you know nothing, right? You are stupid.
We hooked David up with Graham and said, Graham, give him a quick course on how to deal, not with the airplane, but with Joe.
Graham shared a cockpit with Joe for 2 years and learned what Joe likes and what he doesn't.
Pretty much got to know what everything in the cockpit does. Don't trail the cowgills until you're cleared for takeoff is what he likes.
Okay.
You do it too soon, he'll yell at you.
Fine with Joe, I mean, people tell you right away, like, get ready because, you're going to get blasted. You're going to yell at. He's going to be so mad at you. It's pretty nerve-wracking for sure.
The words he doesn't like to hear is, I don't know and I can't do it. Okay, never say those. Figure it out a way is pretty much the biggest key. Do your best to make him happy. Stay constant. It's a big thing. Like, don't change anything.
Yeah.
He hates that. He's been doing it the same way for 30 years. So there's no new cool pilot that's going to come in and change the way he does things. So,
yeah,
okay.
This guy.
Yeah.
David coming in has really got a battle ahead of him, so hopefully he can push through.
Attitude's everything, man.
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean,
David's had less than a day to prepare, and in more than 30 years, no new co-pilot has ever escaped the wrath of Buffalo Joe.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Yeah, no worries.
Down in Vancouver, the 215 crew is prepping the plane for its ocean voyage.
The shipping company wants the fuel removed. So, we got about 2,000 pounds of avgas, so we're going to remove that right now.
A necessary precaution before hoisting the plane aboard ship.
We'll do our part, and hopefully it'll make it safely.
It was a first step for everybody, the shipping company, Buffalo Airways. You know, it had never been done before.
We're going to last-minute sling installation before we head to the ship.
The sling, or harness, should allow the ship's crane to hook onto the plane.
These are amazing, these things. They lift 8.5 tons each.
Oh, I can't remember. It was over or under. It's under. Which one's that one going?
But the crew has never used this sling before.
Cable to this shackle or another shackle?
And they're about to use it in a way that was never intended.
It's never been tried on an airplane that hasn't been sunk or smashed or crashed or whatever. It's just never been done on a perfectly good airplane.
There's a B on this one.
They won't know if it will work without wrecking a perfectly good airplane until the plane leaves the water. And they have to race. The tidal current is turning against them.
We're almost out of time. It's 9:07. If the current starts to run, we got to put the plane perpendicular to the current.
Right now, the tide is calm, but in less than 10 minutes, it will start to go out. If they don't get moving fast, they'll be pulling the plane sideways into the flow of the water.
It's a 65-foot lock, so we don't lose control.
The ocean won't wait for us, right? Stupid ocean.
Racing the ocean, they need to squeeze through the marina's narrow opening one more time.
We're setting sail again.
And now...
I'm going to watch that wing, eh?
The tide is starting to turn.
Everybody took up their exact same position and role as the previous day.
Yeah, this will be good.
We're good over here, boys.
Yeah, this is perfect. Just straighten out. We're good. Step two is done. We're out. Now we gotta deal with step three is the sling.
For a moment, the crew can sit back and enjoy the view.
Cool experience.
But only for a moment.
Yeah, this is our boat.
This is our ship.
The Lucas Ohlendorf. Like, look at how high he is out of the water.
I don't know. It's a big ship. Thinking, Justin.
Holy shit.
I'm looking up at this, you know, 40-foot tall ship. It's like, holy crap, man, this is never gonna work.
A big ship.
On Vancouver's North Shore.
About here, fellas.
Justin Simley and the water bomber crew are getting their plane set up for a feat no one's ever tried. And hoisting the CL-215 onto a cargo ship bound for Korea.
How do you want to go at this?
Just slowly just come in towards the ship.
He wants us over this way.
Go over a little more?
Just trying to get it into position here. A little bit tricky.
But their first challenge, getting the 215 in place without smashing it into the ship.
We need you guys on that trip. We need you on that side. He's going to pull us forward.
He's going to run out of room.
Okay.
Last slacking it up.
Yeah, he's on it. Here.
Okay, this is good.
Okay. Here comes the crane.
The hook on the crane is massive. It's like, you know, it's this big chunk of steel.
Heavy enough to rip through the plane's thin skin with one single miscalculation.
That is a big hook.
It's a f***ing monster.
And the crane operator can't even see the plane.
Oh, 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 oh! Watch yourself.
You come down just a bit.
No, down. Stop.
Spread it all out. We'll make sure everything's looking good here.
There we go.
Everybody get out of the sling. Okay, up. Up just a little more. It's good, it's good. A little more. Good. Now that everything's good, eh? Hopefully it'll all work. We'll find out in a few minutes here.
But first, one last adjustment.
Tori, you ready to put the gear down?
This is the final thing. We've got to put landing gear down because obviously we're a boat right now, so landing gear's up. So when we set it on the ship, it's now going to be an airplane again.
You got the battery on?
Battery's on.
Okay, well. Mains are coming down. Is that gear down or what? It's not locked in.
Freaking landing gear right hand side won't lock.
Bring that skiff to the door. Pick up our mechanics. We don't have a right gear in the lock.
If they can't get the gear to lock, they can't put the plane on the deck.
Turn the master on.
Master on now?
Yeah. You coming in again?
But today, Corey's got the magic touch.
There we go.
Got it.
Can you shut it off?
We got it.
It's locked.
Yeah.
Now the part everyone's been worried about.
Yeah, you guys can, you're good to lift.
Lifting a delicate, multi-million dollar plane with a completely unproven sling.
Oh my God.
when you're responsible for doing a job and then you have to hand that responsibility over to somebody else, it's always tough.
Holy shit.
Wow.
Shit, that might work.
The quote of the day, shit, that might work.
Initially, we're all kind of, you know, like, oh man, this is awesome.
That is the coolest thing ever.
Yeah, that's out of control. It's the craziest thing I've ever seen in my life.
But the wind is picking up.
Oh my God. Hold that tagline, boys.
Little breezy. This wind is gusting.
Yeah, a little breezy. Yeah, the flag, you see the flags are...
Oh, Mother Nature could really kick us in the ass in about 2 minutes here.
That's our biggest fear. If the wind catches it, fuselage smashing the side of the ship, it's going to damage it.
I guarantee we're going to put a dent in it.
See, the wind's here now.
Yeah. The airplane started swinging. They're like, holy crap, this is not good.
They gotta go up above those fences. Well, they're gonna twist it in.
They can't. There's no way.
They can't twist it in there. It's too close.
That ship was designed to carry cargo on top. Well, they had massive steel beams, I guess, every section of the ship. And they wanted to take this airplane and turn it sideways through these beams and sling it in. And big things don't move nicely. I mean, you're fighting them all the way.
Holy look at how close that is to them.
Watch that wind!
It was only about 6 inches or less than a foot from the tail.
Oh my God.
And it's like, this is getting, you know, too close for comfort.
Oh, wait a minute, this is a little sketchy.
The crew heads aboard for a closer look.
Oh, geez, that's close, eh?
Holy. I'm down some more.
Beautiful. Beautiful sight.
Yes, she's on now.
That's f***ing awesome, eh? We're on the boat, boys.
Finally, we're in this
boat. This is a f***ing absolute complete success.
It's not often we get to say we had a success.
Guys, we were that far from total failure.
There's been a million things that could have went wrong. Everything went right. Our spirits were really high. Everything that day worked out perfect.
But now, the crew has to prep their plane for an 8,000-kilometer journey over some of the roughest seas in the world.
Flight number one.
Flight number one of many.
If you don't screw up.
At Buffalo, rookie David Alexander is getting ready.
I'm just setting up the cockpit the way Joe likes it.
Ready for his first flight as co-pilot with the boss, Buffalo Joe.
I know Hay River's not the best right now, so not the greatest for your first flight with him, but...
As first officer, he's got a lot on his plate.
Yeah.
Once you get promoted to the first officer on the skip, it's not just jump in a plane, fly a plane, land, right? There's so much more to it.
Everything needs to be done to Joe's exacting standards.
Graham briefed me on things obviously not to do, but everyone tells you Joe's going to yell to you your first flight. You know, be ready.
There you go, thank you. Check your instruments are working. Joe yells. All checks are done. All kill items are done.
To Joe, co-pilots are a necessary evil.
I can fly the airplane very, very well by myself. But when I want to fly DC-3, the regulatory force say I need a co-pilot with.
Forward 68 Tower, right turn out, clear takeoff, runway 16.
Clear to go off, runway 16.
Today, Joe's springing a surprise test on the rookie in the right seat.
Okay, you're going to be doing a departure.
Just threw that at him. He's like, okay, your takeoff. And I was like, okay. I didn't expect to take off or land for quite a while, actually.
You expect to do it yourself? Yeah, I checked that close item for a call.
your first takeoffs with the boss, so you don't want to screw up. Get that little nervous feeling, and then that's it. You'll forget everything, and stuff goes bad from there.
Okay, there you go. That's fine.
On the Yellowknife runway, Buffalo Joe has thrown new co-pilot David Alexander a huge curveball.
Okay, there's your problem. That's 100 to go. Got her.
On his very first flight, David will be handling the takeoff.
That was a slow on the throttles now.
And Joe's known to be ruthless with his rookie co-pilots.
Take your throttles, heels on the floor. Do not touch your brakes. Put your power to it just like your car. You don't go faster than the car is going with your throttle. I have the throttles.
Yeah, throttle.
I put the weight on the tail. You gotta realize how much weight you have in the airplane.
Okay.
The tail heavy or the top front heavy? Okay, now let her fly, let her fly. But she's ready to fly, she wants to fly long before you do. And center 168 South Yellowknife.
Graham's last minute tutoring is still fresh in David's ears.
As Richard presents in, I was like, oh, Graham said not to touch that, so I like, pretend to scratch my head or something like that, right?
Watch your altitude, watch your head. Okay, it'll be 11 about when we come up to 500. We'll stop the climb.
Okay.
Check your altimeter. Okay. That's good.
It's a flawless takeoff, and even the boss takes notice.
I was surprised, or maybe was impressed, that he came to the cockpit well trained. Haven't had work with these last few people that had that air of entitlement there. It was nice to know that he was working for what he was getting.
40 minutes later, they make final approach into Hay River.
Hey, everyone. 6-8, over 9, runway 23.
Joe's still watching David like a hawk.
Attention, we got a green light. Where's my green light? Okay, how's the lock? Green light. Make sure that light stays green. Okay.
But David's already pulled off the impossible.
Do you think you remember all the things you're supposed to do?
Oh, yeah.
We'll be ready for you tomorrow.
All right.
How do you do, Joe?
Good. Pretty good.
It might be just a few words, but for Joe, they speak volumes.
You know, honestly, in the last 10 years, I've never, ever seen my father come back when I said, well, how's the new guy? And the one thing he said is, well, he's prepared. And that is probably the best compliment you can probably get.
I feel good. I mean, it could have been a lot worse, obviously. So I think he's pretty pleased with how I did so far.
He had done a lot of self-study, put 65 hours on simulator, and he came very well prepared for the job he was going to do. If he keeps that up, his road to the gold bars will be a very smooth road.
It went really well. I don't know what I'm doing right, but I better, you know, keep doing what I'm doing.
Grab that ladder.
In Vancouver's Burrard Inlet, Buffalo's 215 crew wants to make sure their plane gets to Korea.
Do the last kind of a walk around, say goodbye to the maybe this is the last time we're going to see it. I don't know. Maybe the ship sinks.
The ship will pass through some of the North Pacific's most treacherous waters.
Apparently in rough seas, everything moves.
The crew has to get the plane tied down and secure on the deck.
There's a welder showed up. If you need a hook somewhere or a tie-down point, they just weld it to the deck. They don't screw around.
In the waters it will travel, shipping containers have been washed right off the deck. And with the 215, that's a much bigger risk.
There's a 6 5-ton chain, three around each of the landing gear wheels and one on the nose. Then everything else is webbed, so we've got a total of 20 lashings. It's just there's a lot of movement in the wings.
Oh, yeah.
The ship's moving. We think there's going to be quite a bit of movement.
The airplane, it's not really meant to be tied down. You can't cinch them down like you would, you know, like tying your snowmobile down in the back of your truck or something.
You want the airplane on the deck tight, but not too tight as to damage it, right? So we tied it from everywhere we could.
This is really the strongest part of the entire airplane. So if we need any additional lashings, I told the mate that he could put a sling around this part of it.
For sure.
The airplanes, they're good when they're in the air, but they're not good when they're on the ground. They're very fragile. We've had airplanes before that have sat out in the yard that the rudder locks have fallen off overnight, and the wind blows the rudder around and smashes the shit out of it.
And the winds on the ocean will be as bad as the waves.
When it gets to that point, like, it'll damage the fuselage.
Yeah,
and it better rely on those straps.
The crew will throw it out every day. Everything I've just like that.
The shipping company is not making any guarantees that the plane will make it in one piece.
When we get to Korea, I don't know. It's a total gamble. I mean, there could be things busted off that are broken. I mean, we don't know.
None? Yeah, I think that's all we can do at this point. Just give her a little prayer or something.
Buffalo's CL-215 is ready to set sail on its 8,000-kilometer voyage to Korea.
It's good.
But its special passenger will be staying behind.
We made an executive decision. This frog's been with us for a long time, so we're not going to let it go down with the ship. So it's come with us, and we'll bring it to Korea when we get there. This little guy didn't deserve all that rapport.
Well, we're subjective to that.
The captain has just one last task before he hands his plane over.
Just taking a picture to send to the Koreans to let them know that the airplane is in fact on a boat and on its way.
It's still got no money. There's still no pay. So it's almost like, you know, you're playing poker and, you know, you went all in and you still wait for the guy to show his cards, and he hasn't shown his cards yet.
We're kind of on the Mexican standoff with the Koreans. My father had to bite the bullet and, you know, take a little bit of trust in them and put that airplane on the ship and get her sailing.
Once the ship's gone, it's really out of your hands. You know, you kind of wonder what kind of shape the thing's going to be in when it gets to the other side.
In a few weeks from now, we got to go to Korea and meet this ship. I mean, we don't know. Hopefully it's in one piece. I don't know.
With the 215 facing a three-week journey and an ocean to cross, hoping is all that Corey and anyone at Buffalo can do.